Okay, let's start a sales track. So you're all sales guys, right? Welcome to this afternoon session, filled with information, inspiration, to help you in your job further. Now, let's see if the audience is still awake. Who thought the Xbox demo was awesome? Let's see some hands. Yeah, I see a lot of hands here. Now, second question, who wants to have such a thing at home? Oh, I see a lot of more hands. And it will be for your kids, right? Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Now, this afternoon is all about the programs, it's all about the tools, and especially the readiness we are introducing to you to realize your sales targets. So you could have a good bonus at the end of your fiscal year and maybe buy one of these consoles, which are actually not so expensive. It's €140, if I can remember well. And you can have one for you at home. So that's the intention. First, I'm going to introduce to you the mother of all programs, the mother of the engagement to you as a partner. And as you probably know, this is our Microsoft Partner Network. Now, a lot of things are going on. We're actually in the final lap of the Grand Prix, as we call it. By the end of October, we will introduce the complete new Microsoft Partner Network, as is, with new competencies joining in. What does this mean to you? First of all, the old program. Let's look back a little bit more. The old program was really about you as a partner. It had little connection with the customers. Okay, there was a lot of information on there, but that's what it is. With this new program, we really want to make the connection with the partner and the customer, and of course, the connection also between partners. And to do this, we are introducing a number of tools, which I will show you later today in this presentation. Okay, what is required to position yourself within this new partner network? Well, we also are going to talk about gold competencies. We're going to talk about silver competencies. Of course, the requirements are very different. And what is really different is that you could be a gold partner as a partner on the partner organization, but now the gold and silver certifications are linked to the competencies you go attain. So what is really important is that you profile, that you match exactly these competencies with what your company is doing in the market. It's a way for customers to find your capabilities as a company. So this is really crucial. You would need four MCPs, four Microsoft Certified Professionals, to obtain a gold competency. Apparently, I need to go a little bit more in the back to get some light on my face. So you would need four Microsoft Certified Professionals to attain a gold competency. Now, we have in the room and outside the room a lot of our Microsoft Certified Learning Institutions present, and they can help you. They have worked out some really nice programs in how you can attain these competencies, some readiness programs, role-based readiness programs. So if you still need to certify people, talk to them. They have special offers for you to attain these competencies. All right. What is also changing is the way we collaborate on deals. So I've talked about this. The way we are collaborating on deals. As a gold partner, it is very important that we can share information between Microsoft and you as a partner. Now, how will we do this in the future? We are implementing a new tool that is called Partner Sales Exchange, being PSX, which will really be the window of Microsoft on the business you are doing. As you also know, with the gold competencies, there is a revenue threshold which is being introduced. So this is going to be the way we're going to measure and we're going to talk, we're going to work together to attain these revenue thresholds. This PSX tool will be introduced over the coming 2 months, 3 months, also here in Belgium. We've done some pilot projects over the last year, especially around certain workloads like virtualization and unified communication, but it will be rolled out further throughout our entire solution stack. So this is important that you sign up to these tools, talk to your partner account manager, and let's start working on those opportunities to get them in. Now, what is changing? It's, of course, around pipeline collaboration. It's also about recognized contribution. Some of you who have been at WPC probably know that we are thinking or rethinking our contribution towards our partners, our incentives towards our partners. And also, this tool will be the basis thinking about how we can incentivize our partners better, even also solution partners. So we are thinking about incentivizing solution partners for the work they are doing in promoting licenses or promoting the deployment of our solutions in the market. So stay updated on that. Deregistration, we talked about that. It's a very simple user interface, still working on it on a daily basis. So collecting feedback from US partners and improving the interface. And it's only required for gold certified partners. Last thing I'm going to share with you is Pinpoint, Microsoft Pinpoint. What is it? We've heard a lot of feedback around our previous solution, which you might know, which is Solution Finder. It really was not so well perceived. Well, this is a new version of it. It is the place where you can upload your company profile. It is also the place where you can profile your solutions, and which will be the entrance point for customers towards the Microsoft Partner Network, in fact. So there is a complete engine on search engine optimization behind it, and we're launching this over the next 2 months here in Belgium also. A lot of you will probably have had contacts with people in my organization already to update your profile, to translate solutions, etc., etc. Please take this very much into account. It is important. We will promote this landing page, of course, linked to all different campaigns, in all our campaigns we're driving as Microsoft. So all the campaigns which will continue to come in the market, marketing campaigns, will be linked to this engine to promote the right partners with the right solutions. This is very important to you. And then last but not least, let's show some hands again. Who is running Windows 7 on his laptop or PC already? Okay, I see a lot of hands. And Office 2010? Okay, I still see some people who are hesitating. So know that within the Microsoft Partner Program, you have the right at certain licenses, a lot of licenses which come together with your package in the Microsoft certification. This is really important. Please use them. Use them. It's like having an Audi car salesperson driving an Audi 80 still. This is not good. Use our latest software when you interact with your customers. Very important for us. And with this, I'm going to conclude the general stuff around things we can do as Microsoft, and I'm going to introduce one of our principal architects worldwide, I must say, Eduardo Kastner, who is diving into our platform, attached to the cloud business also, and is going to give you more background around how you can sell better, what the talking points, what the customer references will be, and what the talking points will be when you talk to our customers. Thank you very much. Eduardo, the floor is yours.
You guys ready? Wow, that was really not exciting, was it? You guys aren't really ready. Are we cloudy enough yet? No, not cloudy enough either. Okay, let's start with this. Do you think you can sell something today? I'm not joking. Raise your hands. I'm a salesperson. You're a salesperson. Let's talk a little money. Is that good? Is that going to get you a little more excited? Do you think you have something to sell today in the cloud? Very few hands. Do you think I can convince you in 1 hour? That's an interesting, is that a good challenge for me? Yeah? Okay, let's give this a shot. Let's see if at the end I can get you a little more excited than at the beginning, because I'm not doing a really good job right now. I already know this. It is a pleasure to be here with you today, and I want to talk to you about tangibles. I want to talk to you about what can you sell today. Because you know what? I have a strange theory. The strange theory is that you can sell today a whole bunch of things, and you can also start lining up for what you can sell tomorrow. So hopefully, in the two slots that I have for this session and the next one, I'll try to give you some good ideas. Now, please do me a favor. Whether you believe the whole message or 75% of the message, understand one thing. Whatever you don't sell, if somebody else does get it, they're going to sell it. Is that fair? So try to see how much you can sell of the infrastructure that I'm going to show you. Because I promise you, customers are seeing this, they're getting excited, and if you don't sell it to them, I don't want to be sarcastic, but I'm being very realistic, he's going to sell it to them. Okay? So, let's start with this. How do you sell and position the Microsoft platform today to enable our customers to go to private cloud. Well, this is a hard thing to say because most people don't agree on what a private cloud is, right? So how do you sell something that people don't agree? Let's start with that. Well, there's two things that people say that are very clear. One is Gartner, the other one is Forrester. And one guy says it's scalable and elastic. I think we all agree with that. The problem with scalable and elastic, we'll go into it, is that most people don't know how to get to scalable and elastic, right? And the second one is, it's going to be a self-service pay-per-use. Okay, that's a pretty simple concept and people get that. Fine. So with that said, let me start telling you something that really surprised me when I started looking into this space. I started asking customers, and this is not, I didn't ask our esteemed partners. I asked customers directly. I said, let me ask you a question. If I just virtualize the server, that's all I do, do I get a virtualized data center? What do you think? Just go with your head like this or like this. If I just know, okay, that's you know, in English, that's an oxymoron, right? It doesn't make sense, right? Because we're saying, if I virtualize server, do I get a virtualized data center? And you're saying no. Why do you think customers said no? That's an interesting question. Because customers said, if you don't manage those servers, it's not virtualized. Would you agree with that? Okay, so we're talking about management. But if I say that, I'm trying to say two more things. Or at least I'm trying to imply them to you. The first one is, fine, if I virtualize my servers and then I start managing them better, then I have a virtualized data center. What's the next step? Well, the next step may be something very simple. I automate my processes. Is that simple? No. Is that something that you can buy? Is that something you can purchase from a partner? Could be. Is that something a partner can help you achieve? Yes. Okay. So who is selling right now data center automation? There's almost no hands. And you know what? I would bet you that there would be almost no hands. Because what we're selling is products and, to some degree, capabilities. But we're not really enabling the customer to drive his own capabilities. Because if we achieve that they go from a virtualized server to a managed virtualized server to the capacity to automate what happens within that virtualized server, what did we sell? Well, that's what I'm going to try to show you, okay? And when I say show you is, I don't want to have a raise of hands or who's technical here, and then two of you raise your hands. I'm going to ask you a question that I'm hoping, praying, that all you raise your hands. So let me see if I can get one time a good response, okay? How many people here sell software? And by selling software, they have to sell some kind of technical capability. Everybody. You see my point? So to some degree, if you sell the car, you have to know how it looks. Not extremely know how it looks and works, but to some degree. Agreed? I'm going to hurt you a little bit. I'm going to have to show you a little bit technically. How does this look? Because you know what? If I can explain it to you in layman's terms, in simple terms, maybe you can convey it to your customer in simple terms, and that's a sale. Would you agree? And that's a sale. Well, not necessarily. You're right, but almost, almost. I'm watching you guys. If you say yes or no, I am watching, believe it or not. I can't see the guys way over there because there's a projector. So the only safe zone is like right there. Don't worry, I'll be watching you closer. So that's the private cloud. You know what I just meant? I meant from virtualized to managed, managed to automated, and then once you get to automated, maybe you'll get to elastic. And once you're in elastic, I think we all agreed I'm already pretty cloudy. Now, if I'm a little bit cloudy or really, really cloudy, you know what? I'm already a little private. And that's enough for anybody because that's more than anybody has today. And then public cloud is a completely different animal, speaking amongst us. And we all agree on this. So let's talk about a couple examples of what this looks like. Well, the first thing is, if a customer runs everything, it also means that he decides on everything. So if he decides on everything, he decides what brand of cable he buys, but he also decides the hypervisor model, right, or brand. And so he also decides the operating system and the application. But if he buys from somebody infrastructure as a service, or IaaS, then what he's saying is, sir, could you please sell me 3 Windows Server 2008 R2s? And then you say, sure. But he says, no, but you know what? I want you to run them on this brand of router, this hypervisor, and you say, come on. Do you want the servers or don't you want the servers, right? So if you're buying servers, if you're buying IaaS, all you're getting is servers. Some vendors out there want to lower this to the hypervisor, and some people want to raise it to the database. But it is right there in the middle. Then if you say, I want to buy platform as a service, you're saying, I want 4 SharePoint servers, okay? Should I be deciding as a customer if you run a brand of switches? No. I just want 4 SharePoint servers. What happens if I buy 3 inboxes of email from you? Should I be deciding anything else outside of, yes, I know you're selling me Exchange inboxes? No. So I want you to understand that the more you go to public cloud, the more you go to software as a service, the less you are deciding the infrastructure and the more you're buying a standard service. Agreed? And this is very important for you to understand, because I know that you will sell to your customer, hopefully, you will sell to your customers in some cases, because look, nobody's going to use a one-size-fits-all, right? Nobody's going to buy everything from the cloud, and nobody's going to run everything online. Just like, how many customers do you know that actually threw away their mainframe? You'll count them with your hands, because everybody else is still running them. So my point is, it will be a hybrid world for many years to come, and we all realize this. But that means it will be a hybrid world. People will use a little bit of everything. And I will give you a couple examples of customers right now of names that you know that are running things on the cloud. And you'd be like, really? Already? Yes. So be very careful. If you are on infrastructure as a service, the customer decides a couple of things. But if you are on software as a service, the customer doesn't decide much. He either buys it or not. Okay? This is like you buying sandwiches from a store. Say, no, I didn't want you to buy that brand of chicken. How do you know which brand of chicken I bought? And what does it matter, right? So, let me show you something. Today you have a lot of options. Today you can offer, and this is important, today you can offer System Center and Windows, SQL and .NET, and all the SharePoint Exchange family. But you can also offer today a partner-hosted offering, and you can also offer today a Microsoft-hosted offering. And if you're capitalizing on those opportunities or you're not, it's your choice. Like I said, I'm very direct. I'll tell you exactly how it is, and you decide. You're all businessmen, right? So you're going to decide where you make your money. But you have to understand that customers are going to buy a little bit from everywhere, because it is not a one-size-fits-all world. Would you agree with that? Therefore, be very careful. There is an offering for everything. And why do I say be very careful? Because there's companies out there that come out and say, I will have an offering. I just had an acquisition, and I will have an offering. That's not Microsoft. What is Microsoft saying? It's saying, I have an offering. I have a partner-ready offering that you can go offer right now. So whether you stay on your current offering and decide not to move forward, I hope you get excited by this and you understand that you have all this catalog that you can sell today. And you know why this is important? I'm from Mexico, by the way, so I'll give you one small saying. The guy who hits first hits twice. Do you also have that saying? Well, I think you like it anyways. Because you know what? Right now, not many other people have an offering that you can go out and sell as a partner service. So you can, right now, get the first foot in the door, the second, the third, and the fourth. Well, let's look a little bit of what this is about. This is a study that an analyst did on how this is going to grow, where this is leading us. And I hope you enjoy this chart as much as I do, because you know what it says? That by 2014, how many years is that? 3. By 2014, there will be as much consumption of customers from web offerings or cloud offerings as there are for on-premise offerings. You may believe this or not, but the tendency is looking at that way. And I'll show you some more statistics to prove this, okay? So we did an incredibly good study with a company called CMRI. This is right now, 2010, okay? And this study was for customers in the U.S., in the U.K., in Germany, and in China, okay? And what we analyzed was, what are your intentions for going to the cloud? Is this interesting? So don't tell me what you have right now. Tell me what you have right now, and also tell me what would be your intentions. When are you going to do this? And I'll just show you a couple of slides on this. Now, look, 697 customers in the U.S., 427 in China, 529 in the U.K., and 525 in Germany. So it's no small numbers. It's a good number of customers. And look what we found out. I know it's a big eye chart. Let me just simplify it for you. Is that clear enough? Is that good? Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back one click so you can read it. You're going from, in small businesses, from maximum in China, maximum. So it's 30%, right? 30s and 40s. You're going to 60s and 80s. Okay. That was Germany. UK is a little bit more conservative. Look at the next chart with me. If you're looking at medium businesses, you're going from high 50s and 60s already. Already, right now, my intention of going into the cloud, my adoption rate today, this is super high. I don't know if you're noticing that I'm not talking about what's going to happen in 5 years. I'm telling you, right now, people are saying, I have 60% intention to go into the cloud. Again, I'll come back to my initial question. Which one of you wants to sell this to them? You see my point? And that's going to go up to 70 and 90s. And then the last one, enterprise customers, 70% going to high 80s and 90s. Is this interesting? Okay. I know this is a huge chart. Don't read all of it. Just look at the yellow bars. Do me that favor, okay? Just look at the yellow bars. You know what the yellow bars mean? Software as a service. You know what that means? Online. Software as a service is the same thing as cloud. Okay? So cloud is, in all these workloads, CRM, web conferencing, messaging, read whichever you want. Keep going down. Look at the rest of them. IT processing, compliance, productivity tools. Look at all of them. They're all on what? 40%. People have very clear intention on taking a whole bunch of tools to the cloud. Is that right now? Well, it may not be this month. But I bet you it's going to be within the next 6 months to a year. So if you're not ready to talk about this right now, the person next to you who's ready is going to be the one who's going to be taking that opportunity. So don't wait for that. Here, let me tell you something simple. In my humble point of view, you have to go for very specific services and workloads. Because not everybody wants to virtualize, and not everybody wants to go to the cloud on everything, right? So you have to look for very specific workloads. I'll give you a couple examples. People are really perceptive when they're very elastic, when they have to open branches and close branches, on things like email, intranet, portals. But I'll give you a very, I don't know if I was going to use this example right now, but why not? You know, I'll use it now and then I'll use it later. We were working with Nestle. You all know Nestle, right? In Nestle Brazil, they said, we're going to do a marketing campaign. Now, we don't know how successful this marketing campaign is going to be. This is a case that just got closed, okay? It's being deployed as we speak. And they said, we don't know how much load we're going to get. Am I speaking okay? No, not too fast. So how many servers do I put on this? I mean, think about it. This is a marketing campaign. It's public. And you go to IT inside of the company, and you say, I don't know if I need 10 servers or 10,000 servers, because I don't know if this marketing campaign is going to be somewhat successful or super successful. You know what IT says? Hold on, let me go get something for my stomach. Right? They're like, are you serious? How the hell do you want me to provision this, right? How many servers do I give you? So they say, no, go talk to, I don't know, one of these hosting providers. And you go to the normal hosting providers today and you say, I'm going to have a marketing campaign, but I have no idea what my load is going to be. It could be $20,000 a month or it can be $20,000 a day. And you know what they say? No problem. Hold on. $20,000 a month, $20,000 a day. I like $20,000 a day, right? So I charge you $20,000 a day every day. And there you go. That's your maximum load. And your cost is $500 million. And you know what Nestle says? Nope, not going to buy that, obviously. So what they do, they came to Microsoft with a partner, and they said, if I buy this from you, how much would you charge me? And you know what the answer was? Whatever you use. If you use $20,000 a day, we charge you for $20,000 a day. If you use $20,000 a month, you use $20,000 a month. I'm going to ask you a very simple, simple question, and I do require that you answer it with your head. Do you think they bought it from us? Ah, is this partner now making a whole good money out of selling this? Ah, who do you think developed with the customer the Azure code to do this? Ah, you see my point? Not too bad, huh? Is this interesting already? Is that a good name for you? Is that a company that you're familiar with? You see my point? Not too bad. Look for public, not private data scenarios. A lot of people are very receptive to public scenarios on this space. Please look for elastic and load-driven applications because people are more... So I'm telling you where the low-hanging fruit are, okay? Please look at integrated security and management. And look at places where the customer says, I don't want to run the risk. Because if they don't want to run the risk, it's going to be very simple that you sell them. Okay, then I run the risk for you. Right? And last but not least, time to market. And obviously, be careful. Don't try to sell a one box for everybody because it's not going to work. Mostly in application development for obvious needs. But for things like email and intranet or portals, it's going to be a little bit simpler. Okay, so with this said, let me just go into a very simple reflection. You have an offering for, and you have a choice for whether it be run in-house or on-premise or on cloud. But just please don't stay with a one-size-fits-all. Don't just offer one thing, because let me say it once again, you are losing good revenue opportunities. That's what you're doing. So, with this said, let me just go quickly into a little bit of the private cloud. Because we've talked a little bit now about public, but I want to go back to private, because many people say, I have no idea what to sell there. And if they don't say that, they say, I have no clarity. So the no idea was a little bit too extreme, but the no clarity is enough, right? So let's see a little bit what we could do there. We're going to talk about virtualized, but not only virtualized, also physical. You know why? Because if on average, right now, between all the people analyzing the markets, they say that between 18 and 26% of servers out there are virtualized. And we talk about them and talk about them and talk about them till we turn blue in the face. But there's still 70% of servers that are not virtualized, right? And who's talking about those? Which addressable market is bigger for you? Don't answer. So the point is simple. Let's talk about both. Why limit yourself to one? And if you tell me, yeah, but I'm already addressing it with the competition. Well, that's good. But the competition only achieved one thing. They achieved to get to 18 to 26%, whomever you believe, virtualized. Why aren't you virtualizing all the other servers? Why didn't we get to 50% virtualized? Well, I'll tell you something. There's three blockers, three very strong blockers. Every study tells us this. Every customer we talk to tells us this. Number one, virtualization is a beautiful catch-22. You know what a catch-22 is? Like a snake that gets its own tail. It's a circular thing, okay? I'll save you money if you pay me money. So wait, I didn't get it. Yeah, if you give me money, I'll save you money. And you know what? People believe this. But it gets to the point where they say, I don't have any more money to give you. So don't save me any more money, please. Stop saving me money, okay? Whatever you do. But what happens if I tell you that you don't have to pay more money to virtualize more? Instead, what you need to do is manage better. Instead, what you need to do is integrate more. Instead, what you need to do is to automate more. In that your automation efforts on one workload could be leveraged on other workloads. You want me to explain that in sales terms? The work that you sell in automation as in PowerShell or advanced scripting for operations manager, in other words, system center, can be used for physical and virtual. Can the competition do that? Don't believe me. I'm going to show it to you in a second. It's not going to hurt you. How about this? Can you do any type of automation, any type of elasticity, if you buy best in class? Let me explain this very simply. Best in class is I buy everything that Gartner or any other analyst says that is best in class, and I end up with a whole bunch of good tools for a whole bunch of different aspects, right? But then, can I automate this? Not really. Why can't I automate this? Because all these tools don't play nice with each other, right? And this is no secret. I'm not saying something that I don't expect you to say, yes, absolutely, you know? Yeah, absolutely they don't play nice. So could we get to this nirvana, this universe where almost everything is under one umbrella? Well, no, we can't. This doesn't exist anywhere. And I'm not going to stand here in front of you and tell you that this exists. But I'll tell you one thing. It exists in the world where you limit yourself to one single platform. Can you do this with multi-platform? Nobody has achieved it yet. But can you do this in the Windows platform? Maybe. I don't know. Let me see if I can prove it to you. Is that fair? Let's see what happens. Well, what we should get is vertical and horizontal integration. And please understand that I'm talking about something very powerful. What's vertical integration? I know the server failed, therefore the virtual machine should fail over, right? That's pretty straightforward. What's horizontal integration? I want to fail over because the load on my index of this database increased by this much. There's no failure there. Let me give you another example. I want to fail over, or I want to change my behavior at another machine because I had this much load on that network switch. So in other words, I'm going to change my behavior based on what I analyze in my environment. That's horizontal integration, and I hope to show that to you right now. Let's start with it. So, first one. This is electricity. This is operations manager. Operations manager, you download the management pack of HP, Dell, or IBM, and look at this. I don't know if you notice, I'm putting a quota on how much electricity my servers can consume. You may say, how exciting. You know what? Your customers have never seen on a single console electricity consumption, operating system monitoring, application monitoring, and synthetic transactions. You want me to translate that to a simpler term? Everything in one console. I'm showing you from the physical all the way to the application in one console. Not only that, this is enough to make a sale already in Operations Manager. Because what I'm showing you here, just with the management pack of the hardware vendors, is I know how much electricity my data center is consuming. Is this interesting already? Well, you know what? I assigned the quota to some servers, and some other servers, if you could see my profile, are like me. They're high capacity. They have no quota. They can eat as much as they want. Okay? But some are more restrained. So here we have a server in rack 3 that it has an alert. What's the alert? Did it fail? Did it explode? Did a meteor fell on it? No. What happened is, this is also just like me, it ate more than it should have. Right? So in this case, guess what? The alert is not in the operating system. It's not in the management. It went over quota. It consumed more electricity than I told it that it could. Right? Okay, so now I'm in Virtual Machine Manager. This is another tool of the System Center family. This is where I manage my virtual machines. And I don't know if you notice, I have two virtual machines on that physical server, and I'm getting the alert from Operations Manager, and I didn't have to do anything. And the alert says, guess what? This server is consuming more electricity than it should. Would you like me to do something about it? Look how interesting and tightly integrated, as well as, excuse my Spanish, automated this is. I didn't have to do anything, and the system is telling me, would you like me to help you with your electricity consumption? Yes, but I'm in my virtualization manager. How are you going to help me? Well, this is showing you that VMM is integrated with Ops Manager. And what we're doing here is very simple. Is we just told her, go and do the solution, implement it. I could have told it, tell me, and then I'll decide. Or I could have told it, don't even tell me, just fix this whenever you see it, right? But when I said fix it, what did I say? Well, what I said to it is grab the virtual machine that consumes more memory and CPU on average, therefore consumes more what? Electricity, and move it to another server. Now, I'm not going to tell you which virtual machine, as well as I'm not going to tell you which server. You're going to find out that there's a server that has this much consumption of electricity, and it has this much availability of CPU, memory, etc., so my performance can remain the same or better. And you're going to decide what to move. So in this case, what you're seeing is we're typing on the machine VDOS2, and we're working on it while it's being migrated right here. Can you see that? I didn't tell it which one to move, and I didn't tell it where to move it to. This is automation at its best. And what you saw here is that I'm migrating the machine with no downtime. And what's massively interesting about this is I'm showing this to your customers all week. And I'll tell you a secret. You know what they said to me? And there were 4 customers yesterday, just at dinner, that saw this. Just at dinner. And the four of them said, I want that. Before that, 2 hours before, I was with one of your largest customers. And before that, I was with 3 smaller customers. And you know what those 4 customers told me? I want that. So my question to you is, which one wants to sell this to them? How hard is this to sell? Operations manager with some management packs installed and some integration with VMM. It's not that hard. But you know what you need? You need a little more technical depth. You need some certifications. And you need to want to go sell this. You see my point? You need to want to go sell this. Because you know what? It took me 1 afternoon to record this video. But what I showed there was that it moved from one machine to another. And what was spectacular is that when customers say this and see this, they say, yeah, I bought, I don't know, Tivoli, OpenView, TNG. You choose, right? Whatever you want. But I don't have that. And I already own Operations Manager. So maybe your sale is not going to be one more license. But you know what? It's going to be some very good and hefty. Hefty means good size. This is hefty, okay? Very good and hefty hours of consulting. It's not too bad. Let's go to another scenario. Is this interesting? Just go with your head like this. If it's no, then say no. That's it. I don't want to sell no more of this. What are you selling here? End-to-end management, facilities management, automation, reliability, and service level agreements. That's what you're selling here. Let's go to the next one, dynamic recovery. Now, this one I love. You know why? Because this one will show you 3 things. It'll show you the integration that I have between the operating system, okay? Operations Manager, which is the monitoring tool of System Center. Data Protection Manager, which is the backup tool. And this is where many people stop and they say, no, my customer already has a backup solution. I don't want to sell them Data Protection Manager because it brings no value to the table. Right? How many people think like that? Don't raise your hand. I know there's like half of you that think like that. Well, I'm going to tell you a secret. The value of Data Protection Manager is that the way it backs up virtual machines is that it can do them online. So there's no offline. And the next thing that's incredible in the value is that it can recover them in a native mode. It means without pain, okay? So it backs it up. So if you want to back up Exchange or SharePoint or any one of the Windows workloads, it backs it up on a native format and then it returns it. And therefore, you don't need a whole bunch of magic to return it. And let me tell you something. What's the point of backing up? Recovery. How many people actually achieve recovery? Very few. So what was the point in your investment? I have no idea either. But if you can actually show recovery, you're going to show somebody something that nobody else is showing on their demos. Because everybody's showing backup. But it would be magical, wouldn't it, if you could show recovery. Now, let me show you something. Let me ask you a small secret. Let's say you're running the competitor's hypervisor engine. Do you know what I'm talking about already? Or I don't have to say the name, right? Okay, so let's say you're running that, as most of the market is. So I'm not dumb either, right? And then you're running what on top of it? So just help me. What are you mostly running on top of any virtualized server? Well, 86% is Windows. I don't know if you knew this number, but 86% of the virtualized servers are Windows. So my question to you is this. If you sell the competitor's hypervisor for a consolidation project, do you get to sell the migration to the new operating system? Nope. Do you get to sell the SQL and or SharePoint that goes on top of that? Sometimes you do, but most of the time, you know what our statistics say? You don't. Interesting. So you don't sell the stack on top. You know how much value is the stack on top versus the virtualization project? We did a study, and we found out that 30% of the value of those projects are only the virtualization stack. And 70% is everything that goes on top. In fact, it is 10 to 20% the management stack, 30 to 40% the database, and 30 to 40% the application. Your choice. You see my point? You can sell 30% or you can sell 50% of that project, or 70% of that project, or 100% of that project. But if you're just selling the virtualization stack, you're only selling the first 30% of the value of that project. Is this interesting still? Let me show you what happens when you sell a full stack. This is a website. It's running on IIS, and this IIS server is running virtualized. Okay? I'm not going too technical. Am I doing okay? Thank you. So we're going to add another picture to it. Now, while we add another picture, let me tell you something about this website. The first thing is that I wasn't satisfied with just monitoring it. That would have been too simple. I want to monitor the website, and I have some synthetic transactions. What does that mean? That I have users, programs, synthetic users, right? Simulated users, through Operations Manager, going into the website and testing it. Okay? Just so that I know that the whole service is working. Fine. And also, I'm backing it up here with Data Protection Manager. But you know what? The regular backup cycle is not enough for me. I want to do a snapshot or a backup right now. So there we go. We say, please do a backup, and it's going to start doing a backup. But what's spectacular about this? Well, the spectacular part is that I'm pretty crazy, and I said, I don't want to just monitor the service. I want to monitor the service and the backup. So as part of my service chain, I want to monitor that the backup is successful every time I do it. And if something fails, I want it to fail as if the whole service fails. Okay, so right here, you see I have a script in PowerShell, and you're going to see how all this looks. And it says, if anything fails, I want you to recover. That's all I'm saying, okay? So I wrote a PowerShell script that says, if anything fails in the whole service chain, the whole value chain of this website, I want you to run this PowerShell script. Now, let's go back for a second into Data Protection Manager, and I want you to see there the backup was a success. Fine. I never stopped the service. Did you notice? The website never stopped. It was still working, still available, and I did a snapshot. I copied it, did a backup on disk. Fine. Now, let me show you what was this script that I wrote. Well, the script is super simple. The first thing is, I could have done a decision tree, right? If this fails, do this, and if that fails, do that. But I didn't. I did something super simple. I said, if anything fails, anything, if I get a critical alert of any type, do me a favor, run a PowerShell script, one script. Okay? Let me show you how this looks, because what am I proposing to you? That you certify some people and teach them how to use PowerShell so they can sell this massively to your customers. So don't get bored. Technically, there's a huge amount of revenue that I'm showing you right now if you understand that you need to get your people certified and up to speed with PowerShell. There's no specific certification for PowerShell. What does it say? It said, grab the machine IIS-1 from backup server DPM-1, and upon failure, the last known good backup, restore it on server node 2. Now, server node 2 could have been anywhere. Could have been in this data center, could have been in another data center. And then start the virtual machine again. Well, let's go into the server now, into the IIS server, and destroy it. completely destroy it, right? Let's cause a massive failure on this server. Let me show you that in order to do that, just in case if you want to lose your contract with your customer, you would do this in production. So I'll say it in perfect Spanish. Never in your life do this to a server in production. Just in case we weren't clear, okay? You go here and you delete the NTFS and the NTDS. What did I do? I deleted the two keys in the registry for the file system. And we're going to reboot the server. Just because we wanted to fail massively. So what's going to happen as soon as it reboots? 1, 2, 3. And give it a second. Look how beautiful this is. This is the only demo I have in my life that I enjoy a blue screen. Isn't that beautiful? So you got to enjoy a good blue screen every time you see a demo, right? So here's my blue screen. So simple question. Would your monitoring software detect this? Usually, you know what the answer is? No. Okay, any brand. Any brand. Would your virtualization software detect this? Any brand? Nope. Would your operators detect this? Well, if they're looking at the server, but if not, nope. Who would detect this? Your users. But you know what? Faster than your users, I don't know if you noticed, the script was launched, and Data Protection Manager there is recovering already the server. Look, I'm not so sarcastic as to make fun of you right now, so I won't. You got it. It took me longer to run a 2-minute video than to show you actual recovery. It took me longer than, you know, than to speak about this to show you that I can recover a server from a current backup with how many scripts? Help me. How many scripts? One script. In how many places? One place. Can anybody else do this right now in the market? I beg of you, tell me who can. Nobody else can do this. Whose session are you sitting in? Whose opportunity are you facing right now, dead on? This is your opportunity. Because if you can show this to your customers, look, while I chat, and I know I blabber too much, my wife tells me that all the time, but while I chat here, you're going to see recovery here, okay? So you can look at that, you can pay attention to me, I'm all good, okay? I'm used to people not paying attention to me. But listen, what I'm trying to tell you is there's a ton of money to be made. If you actually go 2 clicks down, if you stay 2 clicks up, you just sell installing of operations of Ops Manager or of VMM. That's all you do. But if you tell your customer, would you like me to install at the same time as Ops Manager and VMM, would you like me to do a recovery test with you? Do you think he's not going to buy the recovery of the rest of his servers? If you tell him, would you like me to show you some automation and show you how through a PowerShell script that I can write for you, I can give you the automation of an alert then to recovery. Do you think he's not going to say, I would love to, for you to do this to my other 74 servers? Because I'll tell you something. How many licenses did he need to buy if he already bought an EA that covers his servers? Zero. And if you go with the competition, how many licenses do you have to sell? A whole bunch. That's a lot of margin for you. Are you selling that? You know what? I know for a fact you're not. Because the customer is saying, I don't have that money. I don't have the money, so you save me money. Okay? But you could be selling all this automation. And that's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of this. Well, with that said, let's go. The machine has fully restored and recovered. Let's go back to the website. This is now running on Node 2. Is this powerful or somewhat? Is this good or not really? Too technical. Well, you know what? I'm sorry to tell you. If you don't go to this level, you're not showing the value. This is like you going to the dealership and telling the guy who's selling you the car, can you show me a little bit of the car? And you just open, I just opened the hood. That's all I did. I just showed you the motor. Did I go too technical? I hope not. I really, really, really hope not. And if I did, bring your technical salespeople to sell with you. But show this, because you know what? This was not technical for any of your customers. And I've been here since Monday. You see my point? There hasn't been one customer that said to me, no, too technical, I didn't get it. Every single customer that I showed first demo, the second, they all said, I want that. And they saw the second one, and guess what they said there? I want that too. And you know what they said? I want that for 70% of my servers, not for 30% of my servers. So now I have a big problem. Now I need to ask all of you, and I'm not joking, who can deliver this for us? Because we don't have enough hands. Even if we wanted, we don't have enough hands. So how many of you can please deliver this tomorrow? Because we have sales of this tomorrow. You see my point? That's what I hope you're really getting excited about. Now, that's my website. What did I sell here? Again, end-to-end management, backup and restore, disaster recovery, automation, reliability, and service level agreements. That's all I sold. I hope you're getting excited. I truly do. But not because of anything you're seeing, but because of the huge, massive dollar amount, euro amount, whatever you want to call it, that's in front of you right now. Now, let me show you the third and the last one, okay? So, I know, if you're really being tortured right now, there's only one more to go. I promise, and it's like 5 minutes, okay? So, just stop paying attention to me for another 5 minutes, and then we'll go good. Look, guys, what about private cloud? What about private cloud? Because there's a problem here, right? I've gone into automation, but I didn't go into cloud. Well, some people are going to say about my next demo, that wasn't cloudy enough for me. But some people are going to say, that's just cloudy enough. Well, I'll tell you a small secret. It's not about you, and it's not about me. Customers say, that's just the beginning of the cloud, and that's okay. I'm willing to buy that. That's enough, right? That's enough. If they say it's cloudy enough, I'm happy, right? This is, again, System Center Virtual Machine Manager. How many tools have I shown you outside of System Center? Operating system. Did you get that? That's all I showed you. So right here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a virtual machine, and I'm going to add it to my library. And that virtual machine is going to have a couple of things. First, I'm going to say a couple of characteristics. Why is my video not starting? That's the best question. Let me check here. That's why. So, you see, the best thing about a demo is even if it's a video, it will fail. I know. So, here we have that I'm going to go to my library, and there you go. I have a couple of templates. The template for web developers. What is this template? Well, it's a template for a virtual machine for web developers. It's an IIS, you know, web server template. And obviously, I have some hardware configuration for every time I want to use this template. And I also have the operating system configuration. For the technical in you, it is the sysprep script so that it actually answers and configures the server uniquely. There's something also interesting. I'm going to domain join this server. But here goes. This is the magical part that nobody else can do, okay? You ready? I added a PowerShell script at the end of this. So you could say, oh, everybody else can do the first two parts, which not everybody else, but the competition can do the first two parts. That's fine. But they can't add any PowerShell magic at the end. And it's going to be pretty magical, okay? Give me 2 minutes. So what am I going to do? I'm going to create some user roles. This is in System Center Virtual Machine Manager. So the roles are going to be web developers. Now, every company has a couple of crazy web developers, right? If they're not crazy, they're not web developers, right? So we're all happy. We love them, but we want to control them, right? Because they're crazy. So what do we want to do? If any of you are web developers, we just think you're a little crazy, not a lot crazy, okay? Don't take it personal. So we had a couple of good guys, and we say you can only deploy servers on this physical server. You can only create virtual servers on this physical, and you can start them but not stop them. So you give them some capabilities. And then you say, I'm going to give you this template so that you can create that template of a server. That's it. And on top of that, I'm going to give you 10 quota points. In other words, I'm going to let you create 10 virtual machines and no more than that. Beautiful. Believe it or not, as simple as this is, you show it to a customer and they start to smile. Because if you think that servers sprawl, I don't know if you've heard that term before, servers grow like mushrooms when they're physical, well, they grow like viruses when they're virtual, okay? So there you go. My developer is going to go into his website. Which website is this? A new product? A different product? Another product? No, sir. I'm sorry. I know you're saying, but where's my software that I'm selling? I don't know. You've already sold it. How about that? But now you're selling a ton of services. Where's bigger margin? Okay, you see my point. Now he goes in and he says, I want to create one server with the template of web development. I'm going to call it this. I'm going to put this password and maybe this product key. And since I have 10 quota points and I haven't used any, there you go. I'm going to use those. Okay, so I create this and give me a second. That's it. Uneventful, right? Boring. Well, not really. Not really for one reason. What's happening in the background? And now this is where the magic starts. I'm going to create this server, but I'm not going to create it in some closet over there, obscure, you know, outside of the view of the normal operating procedures and the best practices that any data center should have. I'm going to add this server to production. Are you serious? Yeah. I'm going to monitor it with Operations Manager. I'm going to configure it with Configuration Manager. I'm going to secure it behind my firewall, which in this case is Forefront Threat Management Gateway, TMG. Forgive me, I work for Microsoft. What were you expecting? And last but not least, I'm going to back it up with Data Protection Manager. I'm going to add it to production. Can anybody else do this? Not really. Oh. So I'm treating the server as if it was a server in production. What do you think it was since the beginning? You see my point. You're never playing with these things. This is getting created into the full production environment. It's being added everywhere. But more interestingly, it has a PowerShell surprise at the end, right? Didn't we say this? What's the PowerShell surprise at the end? What's the script that we're using here? Well, this guy says, when you finish creating this server, when the whole configuration of the server is done, do me a favor. Put the IP, the address of the server, and publish it as a text file into the firewall server, okay, into a folder of the firewall server. In other words, into a folder of the Forefront TMG server. Put it there. That's all I want you to do. That's the PowerShell script. So, okay, here we are on the Forefront TMG server, and I have a shared folder called enter, and I have here a file called IP. There you go. Just got published by my server that just got created. And you know what? I have a service on the operating system called Cloud. That's not something that Microsoft invented. That's another PowerShell script that I wrote. And this PowerShell script says, look at folder enter, and whenever anything gets published there, take out the IP address and publish it on the Forefront TMG server as a server to be published to the internet. I know, super technical, I'm sorry, I apologized. Do you know what I just did? Look what's going to happen in a second. I just created a web server with a self-provisioning website requested by a developer, controlled his actions, the server was added to full production, but this is the most important part that nobody else can do. You ready? I published it to the internet through my firewall securely, and I didn't have to sell my dog and half of my family to ask security to please publish it through their firewall. And all this was, you know what? Automated. How many of your customers would like to have something like this? You see my point? Can you sell something like this today? I don't know. That's a question for you. But you know what? I'm really challenging you. I hope so. I really hope so. I really hope you're thinking, I should get a couple engineers certified and all this good stuff. Because you know what? If you can sell this, if you can demo this, I know you can make a ton of money. And you know why? Because I've seen it. Because all this was developed by an MVP and a partner, believe it or not. You thought I was joking. You thought I developed all this. All this was done with an MVP at a partner. And you know what? He's selling it like mad. Because it's easy as hell. Now you can tell me, but I want those videos to sell this. No, I'm sorry. You didn't get it. You can get the videos. But you know what you want? You want the capability to create your own videos. And you want the capability to deliver these videos, right? Because what you want is the capability to be able to sell this stuff. And this was all what? What did I talk about that was so complicated here? I talked about three skill sets. System center, full product line, I'm sorry. Operating system and PowerShell. You see my point? This is really good stuff. This is really good stuff. You know why? Because if I want to say this in any other vendor out there, I need 70,000 licenses, 5,000 skills, and then some integration magic and some pixie dust that nobody has. And then I would bet you, you couldn't even demo it like this. And you know why customers love this? Because it works. Because you see it, because you can demo it, and it works. Now, you would tell me, does this work for every workload? Use the 80% rule. You know what's that? It works 80%, okay? 20%, don't even try it. Why? I don't know. I'm sure you're going to find a crazy scenario that it doesn't work there. Fine for you. Don't try it there. But you see, 80% addressable market is fantastic, right? I know. I'm not the biggest and most spectacular, exciting speaker you've seen in your life. Are you excited about the opportunity at least a little bit? A little bit. Okay. I know. I'll take a little bit, you know, but... I mean, come on, guys. What did I just show you? Repeat after me. You know, this is like the same song, right? For the third time, and that's it. End-to-end management. How many customers have been looking for this end-to-end management forever and never gotten it? You just saw it on three demos. Don't blame me. You know what? When I started this session, all you were serious, I think, because it was a really cloudy day. Right now, some of you are smiling. That's not bad. That's not bad. You see my point? Look at this. Now, what's the benefit of being automated? Let's be serious. The first thing is we did a study with 162 companies. Now, this is a double blind. You know what a double blind means? You don't know who's asking. I don't know who's answering. So this is 95% trustworthy. The other great thing is we were really deep on the questions. And this was for every single vertical out there, okay? And these are global companies with at least some type of formal office in the U.S., because it was done in the U.S., but it was all global. Okay, so the first thing we said is, well, what are the cost components of a data center? And everybody said the same thing. Look, I have better negotiation skills than you have, or my country, or my location, or my mixture, you know, or my size gives me better competitive advantage when I buy PCs, or when I buy my, you know, data centers, right? Or I own the building versus you rent. So you can't compare everything that's down here. And you can't really compare an airline's deployment of a ticketing system versus a hospital, right? You can't really compare that. What can you compare? The salary of IT people. You can compare core server labor cost. How much it costs to operate the server. Because you know what? If you're really mean and you underpay your people, they'll come work for me. So that's the regulation. That's how it works. So with that said, 80% of the cost of a data center, believe it or not, over 3 years, are core server labor cost. Everything that I'm going to say right now is in dollars. Apologize for that. But it's all core server labor cost, okay? So please don't think I'm talking about anything else that's not core server labor cost. Let me show you something. In 6 workloads, collaboration is intranet and portals, as well as internet. Email is clear, identity and access is pretty clear. Data management is everything you put below your applications, okay? And your database. So the server where you would install your databases and your applications. Print and connectivity. We found 51 best practices. Now, you're going to say, why not 160? I don't know. I had the same question. I don't know why not 160, but I know that all these good people said these are the 51 common practices that we all have. And you know what? It's not some people invest and some people get benefits. We found out the guys who don't invest don't get benefits. Okay? So with that said, let me just give you a little taste of this study. Let me go quickly. 3 things. That's what we found. 3 simple things. Don't be generic with me. I did my homework. This is a specific study, and this is what people told us, not what we think, okay? What they told us was, if you automate server deployment, did you just see that in the demo, yes or no? Oh. Automate server deployment, patch deployment and testing, backup and restore, did you just see that in a demo? If you do that, you save $2,160 per server per year. And you're going to tell me that's too much money. I don't believe that. Well, divide it by 2 and believe it. I don't care. I'm not being sarcastic. Be happy with the number. You see my point? Divided by 16, that's still good money. You see how easy a sell this is? Because it is very credible. The second thing is, if you virtualize, you serve, on average, 3,800. Yeah, but if you keep selling, if you keep buying licenses, and you keep buying upgrades, and you keep changing the versions, and you keep saying, no, 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 the licensing agreement that you had covered maintenance, but guess what, now you got to pay me more for the new version. Oh my God, I do my homework, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have spoken, that was out of turn. You know what I'm trying to tell you? This is when you actually leverage what you already have. And I'm talking to you as a customer now, not as a partner. And the last one, if you automate and integrate. If I wouldn't have shown you the demos, you would have never guessed what I meant by automation. You would have never guessed what I meant by integration. Because you know what? You saw one script in one place in the monitoring tool controlling what? Everything else. Controlling the backup, the restore, as well as the recovery and the virtualization engine. On different servers, in different places. If you do that, you save $2,200 per server. All this can be added up. So in other words, you could add 1 + 2 + 3. You get a huge amount of benefit. Now, what did we learn? That there is a difference in which technology you choose. I am sorry. I am sorry. This is a horrible thing to say, but we did another study with now 154 original customers. Same scenario, right? Double blind, based in the U.S., at least one office, all of them global. You know what we found? Well, we asked them, what do you virtualize? When you virtualize, what do you virtualize? What are you putting on top of this virtualization engine? And they said, 86%, like I said before, is Windows Server. Now, please pay attention to this. Server 2003 R2, 2003, and 2008. None of those numbers are small. Okay, 14% Linux. Okay. But what are you virtualizing? Well, you know, I'm virtualizing infrastructure servers. Not true. Look what they answered. They're virtualizing application servers, database, disaster recovery, email, and test. So then we asked the following question. What is cheaper? Remember, I said I'm talking about core server labor cost, okay? Not software cost, not hardware. How much does it cost on a 3-year basis? And you know what we found out? That we were cheaper than VMware on every scenario but test. It doesn't mean that on test we're more expensive. It's on this study, that's how it came out, okay? But in every other scenario, we were cheaper. So we were surprised. We said, why? I mean, so far I don't have an answer. I just have that we are cheaper. Okay, what's the reason for being cheaper? Stay with me. This is very good info. Well, could it be the management tools? Could it be the way you manage them? So then we asked, what tool do you use? And 20%, 23, said, we only use System Center. Surprising or not, that's what they said, okay? And 19% said, we only use vCenter, right? To manage your virtualized servers. That's all we manage. That's all we use. Okay. But 50% said, we have a mixed environment. Little bit of everything. Now, I'm going to ask you a simple question. If you have a little bit of everything, here goes, okay? Here goes. Let's say you have a little bit of OpenView, a little bit of Tivoli, a little bit of VMware, a little bit of Microsoft, and a little bit of... How many skill sets do I need? Oh, this is simple math. Am I offending you? If I use only System Center and maybe one more tool, because nobody uses just one, right? But if I just use two, how many skill sets do I need? So... It's more expensive to be mixed. And it was also more expensive to run VMware. Why? Because VMware is more expensive. We all know that. And something interesting. Why is it cheaper? Because people, it was 24% cheaper. Because people running the Microsoft workload, in other words, the Microsoft operating system, on top of Hyper-V, with System Center, needed less integration capabilities, needed less pixie dust to do magic. They could do it. They could actually do it. And you know why I'm not afraid to say this? Because if I wouldn't have played those videos for you that were a little bit too technical for you and you're going to hate me about them, you would have never seen it. You would have never seen it. You see my point? but you actually saw it. So how many would like to fight me over these numbers now? Well, I don't get any fight. You know why? Because you just saw it. You just saw that less skill sets means less TCO. Less TCO means that the customer has a better control budget. A better control budget means, in my world and yours, a little more money to spend on deployment and on new initiatives. That means, oops, I'm sorry to say, more money for you. Is that a bad thing? Not too bad, huh? Well, guess what? We're close to the end, and they're telling me that I have 5 minutes where they bring in one of those big canes and pull me out. So let's finish this. Guys, anything you do here is benefit. Anything you sell here, even if you believe me 5%, it's 5% goodness for you. If you believe me 50%, 50% goodness for you. Because you know what? Everything I talked about is a profound change versus how customers today are running at least 70% of their workloads. If you agree, just let me know. Because you know what? Can you sell virtualization for the print servers of a customer? Probably not, because they don't have the money for you to go save them money. But if they already have an EA, they already own the platform, and they already have System Center, what do they have to pay? Only your part. Only your part. And if they don't have it, you sell them for a new workload. But my point is, there's goodness anywhere you look here. Anywhere you look, there's goodness. Now, on end-to-end management, on unifying physical and virtual, and I didn't want to kick this one too hard, because you know what? That's like kicking a child. I mean, come on, we're the only ones who can manage physical and virtual on the same console, and I was just showing you virtual, but I could do the exact same thing with everything that I have physical. And nobody else can say that. Nobody else. So your addressable market became what? Remember what I said at the beginning. How many servers maximum, according to any, you know, analyst out there, how many servers maximum are virtualized in the market today? Would you like me to say 30%? Would you agree with that? Well, I just told you that everything I showed you, you could sell to 30%, and guess what? Also to the other 70%. So do you want to be cloudy just for 30%, or would you like to be cloudy for the other 70% too? You see my point? This is for anybody. This is for your whole addressable market space. Whether the customer wants to be super cloudy, little cloudy, or like in Cancun, not cloudy at all. Okay? Look, all goodness. Let's just finish this. There's one quote by Tom Bittman from Gartner that I agree with him 100%. And I really think you should present this to your customers. And it is, if you don't manage and you're virtualizing, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Would you like me to read the polite quote that he said? Virtualization without good management is more dangerous than not using virtualization in the first place. In other words, be very careful when you virtualize if you don't look at management. And if you're looking at management, definitely automate. Who can sell automation to our customers? Who is the right partner to sell automation to our customers? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Well, I really hope that you're offering demonstrations of virtualization to your customers. I really hope that you're collaborating by performing some optimization, some I/O, because you know what? Then you're making the project a little bigger than it is, and you're understanding the whole context of where your project fits, and that you prioritize the needs and develop a clear roadmap so that you don't sell a one time and then kick out and bye-bye. You know what I'm saying? So that you participate on an ongoing basis. But if you're not part of this customer's strategic intent, strategic roadmap, if you do not do a little more questions than what would you like to buy tomorrow, it's very hard to participate on the long run. And I know you do, but what I'm asking you is make the sale bigger. And look, you can say really cloudy, you can say little cloudy. I'm going to ask you one question, and I beg of you. This is the only one that I beg of you, okay? That you reply to me with your hands. Just raise your hands if you agree, and please do me a favor. If you don't agree, don't raise your hands. Is that okay? Can I ask you once to do that? Do you think there's a good addressable market. In other words, do you think you can make money with what you just saw today, right here? Yes or no? Thank you very much. So with that said, you can copy all these links. Oops, no, they just left. There you go. You're going to get a copy of the deck. Maybe there'll be one or two slides that we hide, but that's about it. So that's the worst thing that can happen. But let me just recap. Go after the business needs. Tie them with IT capabilities. Build a roadmap of what they have right now and where they want to go. Demo these capabilities. Build your own videos. And if you want a copy of this, you know, you just ask some people from Microsoft Belgium nicely and you'll get them, okay? My point is build your own. Build your own. Record them. Go show them like crazy. These things sell like wildfire. And you know what? Propose an architecture, sell the solution, and deploy the solution. Finally, sell regular maintenance services. You know what that means? You remember the pool, you know, like a swimming pool, that you own the chemicals and you own the things to clean, but there's one guy that comes in every month and does something and leaves, and he charges you per month. I asked a customer the other day, would you pay a service like that if somebody came to you and said, I'm going to build your image, and I'm going to come for your image building efforts, I'm going to come once every 3 months with 5 people, 60 hours. Build your images, test your applications, and leave. And you know what he said? I love it. Who can do that tomorrow? Then I asked him, this is the same guy, and I'm not joking. This is a global company, okay? And I said, how do you do your inventory management? How do you do your inventory management? Sorry, my accent gets on my way sometimes. And you know what he said? It's just a pain. I lose hair. I'm like, me too. And the point was simple. I said, what about I send you a guy that's going to come in here, install once all the tools that we need. Every 6 months he comes in, he cleans up all the tools, because I'm sure you're going to mess them up, you know, in 6 months, cleans them up, and brings 20 of his friends, or 50. What do you care? They're not your headcount, they're the partner's headcount. So 20 or 50 people, as many as you need. He's going to come in, he's going to do all the software asset inventory management that you need, and then for whatever fails, he's going to bring 50 of his friends and run around like crazy and finish it up and give you a beautiful report, and you're going to have actually, believe it or not, this is magical, right? Actually, every 6 months, an asset and inventory management that is right. And you know what he said? What do I sign? What am I trying to tell you? Sell the automation as an ongoing effort. Sell your processes as an ongoing effort. You see my point? Sell this stuff so that you have clear value-added proposals to needs that they want to pay on an ongoing effort. I hope I gave you some good ideas. You absolutely don't need to follow all of them. I'm just trying to motivate you to understand that there's a ton of opportunities on-premise and in the cloud, and that there is a way to go from on-premise all the way to the cloud. Thank you very, very much. And with this, yes, we have a break for me, which I think is a great thing.